Good morning, everyone. Indeed, it is my privilege to bring the word that the Lord has encouraged me with during the week. The title of my message this morning is Joy for the Journey, and it came about as I was thinking about a number of situations with people that I know and love who are really going through some very difficult and challenging things at the moment. And the trials and the tests are quite enormous in people's lives. And Christian individuals and Christian families are finding themselves in huge predicaments at the moment and in some distressing situations with seemingly no way out. There's no way out in the natural but God. People don't, and even people who don't walk with Jesus, are really struggling with a myriad of major issues too in this world. And let's not even get started on the events that are happening in the world at the moment. So how can we keep going when all around us seems impossible? And if it's not happening directly to us, it's certainly happening in the lives of those we know and love. And so our heart, our compassion for these people runs very deep. And we want to encourage one another all the more. We want to let people know that there is hope, and his name is Jesus. And he alone is faithful to his promises. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to heal the sick, to bring comfort and hope to those who are crushed in spirit, those who are brokenhearted and downcast. Jesus died for our sins, our diseases, our guilt and our shame. He also came that we might have joy, joy inexpressible and full of glory. Jesus knows our every struggle, and he longs to walk with us through these battles, and because he is the only one who can bring us through and bring us through victorious. Jesus teaches that God will always welcome with open arms those who come to him with a repentant heart. Especially today, Jesus does continue to seek and to save those who will humbly put their faith in him. The word of the Lord, as we've been hearing a lot lately, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It provides answers and instructions and comfort and godly and correct advice and wisdom. When we do ask the Holy Spirit to help us walk through these struggles, we gain the victory and we do walk in the fullness of all that God has planned for us. Frequently throughout Scripture, Jesus reminds us that he knows our frailties, he knows our struggles, and he tells us why we go through these, and he provides the means to come out the other side, strong and victorious in him. So this morning we're going to trawl through some scripture and we're going to find some wonderful treasure. We're going to find that joy for the journey. The wonderful thing is that Jesus knows what we go through. He gets it. As the modern phrase would say, Jesus gets it, he understands. In John 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples just before going to the cross. In John 16:33, and this is from the Amplified Bible, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain and undaunted, for I have overcome the world, I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful verse? Jesus points out that he knows that we will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration in this world, but he promises perfect peace and confidence. And the verse goes on and tells us how to walk in that. We need to be of good cheer, Jesus says. We must take courage and be confident, certain and undaunted. How can we possibly be that in the light of what we're going through and the distress and the frustration that we might be feeling? The simple answer in one word is choice. We can't say, Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through and how tough this is, because Jesus does know and he does care. And we can be of good cheer because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. What a saviour. How much clearer could Jesus possibly be about his victory over the world? Overcome, deprived of power, and conquered it for us. We need to make that choice. We need to choose to accept that Jesus gets it. He does understand. And we must choose to be of good cheer because his word declares the truth of that and the powerfulness of it. In the midst of trouble, Jesus promises to give us his peace. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. There are some very good adjectives in there, aren't there? Some very good descriptions of how we can often feel at times, but the word from the Lord is not to be in the midst of those, but to be in the midst of his peace. It's interesting that it says, Jesus says, he gives us his own peace. I bequeath it to you, the Amplified says. Bequeath is a very old-fashioned word. It's usually only used in a legal situation. In a will, someone bequeaths assets or finances or property to a beneficiary. It is a lawful, considered, binding agreement. So Jesus is saying here, I am legally giving to you. I am promising, I am making a binding commitment to you to give you, not just to give you peace, but to give you my own peace. He's not asking us to conjure up some kind of tranquility when we are in dire straits. He's promising to give us his own peace. He reiterates, this is not the world's peace. This is my very own peace that I now legally bestow upon you. I think it's good when we're in the midst of those tests and trials to remind the Lord of his word. Lord, I really need your peace at this moment. I really need that to be bequeathed, given to me in a lawful sense so that it cannot be taken away. And the reason for all that is, do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. That's really powerful scripture. So, Lord, help me. You have promised to give me this amazing gift of your peace. Please help me, Lord, to not let my heart be troubled, neither let me be afraid. With your help, Lord, I will stop allowing myself to be agitated and disturbed. And with your help, I will not permit myself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. I make that choice, Lord, to walk in your peace and trust in your word and your promise to me. In John 14, Jesus knew what was ahead for him. He knew about the unjust trial. He knew about the crowd and their reaction to him. He knew that even his close disciples would not be there for him in his time of need. In fact, it appeared that they completely turned against him. He knew what was to come, being spat at, having his beard plucked out, to be stripped of his robe and beaten, to be mocked and jeered and humiliated, and to have a crown of thorns rammed onto his head. Then to be nailed through his hands and his feet to a rough wooden cross and hoisted high as a public spectacle, given sour wine to drink and a spear thrust through his side. So how did Jesus get through his horrific ordeal? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's how Jesus got through the most dreadful, horrific, unimaginable experience, for the joy that awaited him, and for the fact that he was bringing joy to his Father and his obedience to restore us to that wonderful relationship. The joy that is deep and abiding and unshakable is not a surface joy. It is something that cannot be shaken. Of course, Jesus wasn't happy about what he was to go through, but the joy of obedience, the joy of perseverance, the joy of completing what his heavenly Father had sent him to do, the joy of restoring God's most prized creation, us, back to his Father, overwhelmed the nightmare that was the cross. Even the writers of the New Testament understand joy. Jesus' brother James knew the tests and the trials and that the vitally important role that joy plays in gaining the victory in the Christian life. Listen to what James says in James 1:2-4. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. James doesn't say to be cheerful through our trials as some sort of weird reverse psychology treatment. This is the word of God. This is God's instruction to us. And God's word always tells us the truth, and his words and instructions are 100% trustworthy. The outcomes are assured when we do things God's way. This is what will come about in our lives if we consider it all joy. It will prove our faith to him and ourselves, and others will see it. It will bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. And endurance and steadfastness and patience will do a thorough work, so that we may be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. What a powerful and full description that is of how we can walk in the everything that God has promised, how we can fulfill his plans and purposes for us, but walk in that wonderful victory. Either God's word is true or it's not. Either God is faithful to his promises or he's not. These things will come to pass in our lives because he who has promised is faithful. God is at work within us, even in these very tough times. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. There is a purpose, there is a reason, and what greater outcome could we possibly ever ask for? And can we join with the Apostle Peter and claim these words for ourselves from 1 Peter 1:8 to 9? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Rejoicing with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. Joy that is deep and abiding and unshakable is divinely powerful. It's a characteristic of God that becomes a weapon of our warfare because it is so anti the enemy's agenda. All of us can quote the first half of John 10, verse 10, but let's take special note of the second part. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. We know that bit. This is the rest. I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Jesus' promise here is that despite what the enemy attempts to do in our lives to rob and kill and destroy, we will have joy for the journey. We will enjoy life. We will have it in abundance till it is full and overflows. Enjoyment in life is not based on things going swimmingly, because that's not how life rolls on this planet. Yes, we do get many moments of blessing and laughter and happiness, and there are wonderful events that happen in our lives that do bring us enormous joy. But joy for the journey is a constant. It's there through thick and thin, uphill and down dale. It is deep, it is abiding within us, and it is unshakable. All circumstances in every way we can have this joy for the journey, and it only comes when we live with Christ on the throne of our lives. This joy is permanent and it's trustworthy because it is reliant on God, not on our circumstances. God's promises that we will be blessed. We will be blessed abundantly to the point of overflow because we trust him for every step, every moment, every day, every situation. But what about our tears? What about the genuinely tough and desperately sorrowful things that we do go through? Tears are important. Grief is a process that impacts all our lives in many ways. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. The promise of God, though, has always been to take away the sorrow of his people and replace it with joy. Listen to these wonderful scriptures. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. And I love this thought from Revelation, Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Hence the saying, this too shall pass. The tests and the trials and the challenges of life on planet Earth will pass away. For those of us who have made Jesus Lord and Saviour in our lives, then our eternity contains no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. Hallelujah. Jesus' own weeping gave way to a waiting joy. It's the same promise for us too. Now we're going just to remove ourselves from the focus of this message for a little while, and we're going to put the focus on God. So what brings God joy? We actually can find this all the way through the book from Genesis to Revelation. What delights God's heart? We see right from the outset at creation, as recorded in Genesis, that everything that God created, he said, was good. But when he created mankind, he said it was very good. Why did he say that? Why was he full of joy and delighted about this? Because he'd created human beings who could have a relationship with him. A walking, talking, living, loving, communicating, understanding, being with him 24/7. That was why he created us. The very last book of the Bible, Revelation, we read that he is pleased to be finally taking us all home to heaven. Of those who trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, and have been following him, he has blessings and rewards for us all because it will be his joy to have us with him. Let's see what God delights in specifically. God delights in those who do follow Christ. The saying is recorded twice in two verses, but only a few verses apart. Luke 15, verses 7 and 10. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And then in verse 10, it gets even enlarged. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I remember as a new Christian, someone saying to me when Peter and I got saved, there is rejoicing in heaven, there is a party in heaven because of your decision to become followers of Jesus Christ. And there it is, this is the joy that God has provided. He's provided it for his angels as well, that they rejoice over even one sinner who repents. If our earthly journey and lives can be so characterized by joy, how much more joyful is heaven going to be? Here's something else that brings God joy. God delights in those who fear him. That's those who have a truly reverential awe for him, because he is a holy and just and righteous God. Nehemiah 1 verse 11 says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name. The Lord hears all our prayers and he loves those who delight to fear his name. Those who have a genuine and healthy fear of who God is causing delight for him. So what else brings joy to God's heart? God delights in those who are obedient and who do his will. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22 says, And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. The Lord has greater delight when we are obedient to what he requires. Sacrifice is important, but obedience is greater. And it's interesting that listening is mentioned here, because to be obedient, we have to have listened to what God has said to us and what God desires us to do willingly, being willing and cooperative. Those things, obedience to what his will is for our lives, brings delight to his heart. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So knowing the word of God, having that written on the fleshy tables of our heart, causes us to have delight in doing God's will. And that's actually doing it, not just knowing it or talking about it, but doing it, being obedient and carrying that out in the way we live our lives and how we bring joy to the Lord in our obedience. God has great delight in those who listen and obey. People who are obedient in the little things as well as the big things. When we're obedient, when our flesh would want to tell us to do the exact opposite of what God is saying, when we're obedient and it costs us, God is delighted. We're obedient when it costs us in various ways. When we're obedient to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And when we're obedient to what God simply has laid out in his word for us to read and to digest and to put into practice in our life, we bring joy and delight to the Lord when we do that. God also delights in those who delight in his righteousness. Psalm 35 verse 27 says, "Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant." This is a prime example of you cannot outgive God. When we delight in him and in his righteousness, then he delights in our well-being. He delights in the welfare of his servant. We must stand for God's righteousness. We must stand for truth. Sometimes that's not a popular or an easy thing to do, but when we do that, when we delight in his righteousness and we're obedient to that, then that brings great joy to his heart. God delights in those who are truthful, who deal honestly and faithfully in what they are faced with and their choices that they make. Living our lives with these godly values distinguishes us from much of the world at the moment. Proverbs 1 verse 11 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." So being honest in our dealings, buying and selling, being honest and trustworthy is important to the Lord. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Truth in the inward being. It matters to us. This is where our conscience comes into play. Our conscience is alive to the Holy Spirit, and so we're very aware of right and wrong and being truthful in matters. And when we are that, God teaches us wisdom in that secret place. Proverbs 12 verse 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." Isn't it interesting, this expression? We can often read these sorts of scriptures and think, yes, lying lips are not good, and we need to act faithfully, but we don't realize that brings great joy to the Lord. Jeremiah 9:24 says, "But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." So steadfast love, justice, righteousness in the earth. These things I delight in, declares the Lord. Wonderful things to pause and think about, aren't they? God blesses those who delight in his word. Most of us can recite Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What wonderful, wonderful promises in there. Delighting ourselves in the Word of God, delighting in and meditating on His Word day and night. If you're awake in the wee hours, spend time thinking about His Word, spend time in prayer, spend time talking and listening to the Lord. Romans 7 verse 22 says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Our inner self prospers, and our physical self is subject to decay and ultimate death, but that's not what we take to heaven. We take the characteristics of God that we have developed. We take the things that we have grown in that come straight from His Word and encouraged to us by the Holy Spirit. So it's important that our inner self prospers. Joy on the Journey has some great outcomes for God's children. When we put those things into place, we find wonderful joy in ours and our and others' salvation. Psalm 149 verse 4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with salvation." Acts 15 verse 3, "So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers." I'm saved! Hallelujah! My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I see others saved, and I rejoice with the angels that are in heaven. We find wonderful joy in our own salvation and in the salvation of others, knowing that we are going to be with them in heaven, seeing them turn from the miry clay of this world and placing their feet solidly on the rock of Christ. What wonderful, wonderful joy that brings to us and to the Lord. We can find joy in receiving the desires of our heart. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart." Of course, these desires and secret petitions in our hearts must line up with the Word of God. Delight yourself in the Lord. So in His Word, in what the Holy Spirit would speak to us, and in doing, fulfilling the plans and the purposes that He has for us. And then those secret petitions in our heart will line up with the Word, and we will receive them. He will give us those desires. Hallelujah. We find the joy of the Lord in strength and protection and refuge. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Psalm 5 verse 11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you." Take refuge and the Lord rejoices. Let them sing, ever sing for joy, and the Lord will spread His protection over them. Let those who love the name of the Lord exult in you. We find the joy of the Lord in His victories. Example of these victories over our enemies and our circumstances was often in the Old Testament accompanied by loud music. 1 Kings 1:40 says, "And all the people went up after him, playing on pipes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise." Goodness, this is the victory of the Lord. This is the joy of the Lord in His victories. Psalm 47, 1-3, "Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. So don't be afraid to shout and sing and dance and worship the Lord, because we find joy when we find the victory of the Lord in our lives or in the lives of others, or even in situations where we see the Lord's hand at work in places overseas. And we can find joy also in God's creation, like the rainbow after a storm. Here's a verse just for us. We are the uttermost islands from Jerusalem. Psalm 65 verse 8 says, "Those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy." We've had some stunning sunrises and sunsets recently. God is the master painter. He delights to give these treasures of his artistry to us, the coming in of the morning and the going out of the evening. And he says, they shout for joy. Hallelujah. These things should make us shout for joy too when we see them. Joy for the journey can be found everywhere, even in the smallest things. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing, and even the rocks and the stones will cry out in worship to him. Hallelujah! God's glorious creation reminds us day in and day out of his majesty, his excellence, and his loving care for his creation. And did you know that there are amazing health benefits for walking in joy on the journey? Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, "A happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Here are some scientific facts that you might be interested in. Number one, laughter stimulates the production of the happy hormone, serotonin. Laughter creates more endorphins, which gives us a natural high, reduces stress, and helps a positive outlook. Participating in regular bouts of laughter lowers your heart rate and your blood pressure. It stimulates the whole cardiovascular system that is similar to exercise. I think I know what I'd rather do. Number four. Skin benefits from laughter. We take in more oxygen. It causes the capillaries close to the skin to dilate in a similar way to exercise. The capillaries fill with blood, which feed the skin with an increased supply of oxygen and nutrients. Number five, laughter exercises many muscles of the body. A belly laugh can exercise the muscles in the scalp, the neck, the torso, shoulders, arms, abdomen, and legs. Hallelujah. Between 100 and 200 laughs a day is the equivalent to 10 minutes rowing or jogging. Number seven, let's get more of the joy of the Lord into our lives. If you're not one for the treadmill or the gym for a workout, then find some things to laugh about and find some friends to laugh with, and you'll both benefit enormously. So a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. Hallelujah. The Lord wants us to know that he delights in his creation and he delights in us. He uses the tests and the trials and the challenges to grow us and to cause us to press into him all the more. But he wants us to have joy in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives and that is going on in this world. He has designed us to have a close and intimate relationship with him. He wants us to be victorious overcomers and worshippers, and all these things bring us and him joy. Joy for the journey. Yes, it can be tough going and we face many tests and trials, but I'm hoping that from Scripture today we've seen God's promises and the importance of choosing to be joyful in the midst of life. Joy for the journey blesses our Heavenly Father, it blesses those around us, and it blesses us beyond measure. I have a wonderful passage of Scripture to close with. It's from Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10, which is the whole chapter. And I'm not putting it on slides because I think it would be good if you could follow it in your own Bible. Or if you haven't got your Bible with you, just close your eyes and let the Lord paint for you this wonderful picture from His Word. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they will not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. The Lord bless you this morning.